All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David, this is exciting. We're going to do the show sans laptops.
Can you believe it?
I can't hardly believe it.
I was like, forget this laptop.
You guys, David David is here tonight, currently employing every one of his last coping skills possible.
It's true.
And he's just barely getting by.
It's true. It's true. I got a pinched nerve in the back.
A laptop that won't start up after 45 minutes of time.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm fine. What do you mean this is a minor, insignificant thing that's bothering me? No, never. I won't deal with it.
Well, listen, I have some news that's going to cheer you right up.
Oh, is it the worst news?
This is the worst news.
Okay.
I think that, what is this, episode 140 or 30?
140.
140. So we've done 139 shows, but I think we're ready.
For the worst news ever.
I think, no, even better. I think this is going to be our worst show yet.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Absolutely. And I just sat back in my chair and hit my funny bone on my elbow.
Oh my gosh.
And it hurts.
What's that gonna, you've got a big race coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
You can't even use that arm.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to swim one-handed. I'm still going to beat all of them.
How does that work?
It's easy.
You propeller it?
Yep. A lot of times I do swim one-handed anyway, just because to give the other guys a chance.
Yeah, we're usually on the phone.
Right.
The other hand.
So yeah, so I think if we focus,
yeah,
put our heads together and really commit,
we'll get through this one?
This can be the worst show ever.
Oh, I hope so. At least it'll be a benchmark episode. Oh, 140? That was a real benchmark. Oh, yeah, what happened? Nothing good.
It was the worst.
Yeah, it was the worst.
From top to bottom.
People are like, what episode should we listen to? Not 140. That's the one there. But look, I got some news for you.
All right, hit me.
I know you said you had some news for me.
No.
But I got some news for you.
Actual news.
This is something cool that I think neither of us will ever see.
I disagree.
Really?
I'm 100% going to see it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
If I had an opportunity, I'm going. So okay. Give me an opportunity.
All right.
Podcast trip.
There you go.
Yeah. The Oscar Museum opens in LA next week. And this is like a legit, not just like mom and pop thing, like legit. Like museum with memorabilia from movies from the Oscars, as well as a lot of the Oscars are there because people don't really know right. What to do with them once they have them.
Right.
So they're on display there.
This is a massive museum. This is not like a little rinky dink. This is a massive building in Los Angeles. And I remember when they started in on it, it was like Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg and others who were involved with it, like really promoting it.
Yeah.
And recently, I was reminded that it was open because I read Questlove. You follow him on Instagram?
I don't, but I am aware of him.
You should. Questlove is the man.
Yeah.
And he was invited to the like premiere, like pre-open, like before the public comes in. And they had this big gala for all the fancy pants. I'm surprised you weren't there.
Well, my fancy pants were in the wash.
Oh, right.
I was going to go. And I was like, well.
And that's just always the way it happens.
Next time.
I thought it was really interesting because he's such a cool dude. He's the coolest.
Yeah.
But what he was posting about was his own insecurities about, like, why wasn't I asked to DJ?
Oh.
You know, and why wasn't I asked to cater? You know, even though, like, and then he sort of came around to, like, maybe it's okay that I can just come to these things. You know, maybe it's okay. I can just be me and, you know, be involved and be here and be present. And I thought, like, on the one hand, like, I know we're talking about the movie museum, the Oscar museum.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, I just thought it was an incredibly vulnerable and honest commentary from Questlove about you see these A-listers and to see sort of a little bit of what their personal thought process is. I really like somebody in a high profile position who's candid about their experience.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Further adds to my list of reasons why Questlove is one of the best.
Such a fanboy. When are you going to do your hair like his? You got enough of it. I'll buy you a pick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. So give me the news that you were going to give me.
Disney's live-action Little Mermaid feature features four brand new songs written by Alan Menken and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
How do you feel about that?
I'm cool with that. And I'll tell you why. Because we already reviewed like our feelings around Lin-Manuel. Mm-hmm. Like branding him for the sake of branding him and, you know, sort of commoditizing. Yeah, but I'm searching for another word.
Commemorating?
No. I think I had it right. I think it's
commoditizing.
The commodification. Turning him into a commodity.
The Penn Cinema Podcast. 140 episodes of making words up.
Making up words since, when did we start? 2018.
2018.
Making up words since 2018.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Is that right?
And now we're in, because that's when we would have started like in December.
Yeah.
With like a year end, and then we faked our way through the Oscars.
Yeah.
And then we had like a whole year of 2019.
And then the Backstreet Boys tour happened.
Right.
And here we are. Yeah.
So I'm cool with that. So I'm not going to sort of beat the same old drum because I want to give him a little bit of a fresh start. Maybe it's because he's been out of the news for a few months.
Yeah. Well, here's why I like this. And it's not the Lin-Manuel Miranda part. That's good.
Yeah.
That's not bad. What it is, because we've talked, Frodo had some great opinions about it and stuff. She helped explain it. But what it is to me is what we have talked about before as well is the live action stuff being beat for beat exactly the same.
Right.
And by putting four new songs, that's roughly 20 minutes of new content.
Yeah.
Roughly. I mean, if you estimate. So I think that's great. I mean, that's, you know, maybe put a little bit of lifeblood into the, into the movie.
It's like a whole new world.
Under the sea, right? So you're going to have to more kiss the girl into that.
We're going to just let that one sit there and simmer.
Yeah. See, someone's upset at home.
Whole new world. All right. Speaking of Disney.
That's Aladdin.
I know. All right. Speaking of Disney.
Yeah.
Did you follow this lawsuit?
Well, what's this one here? Oh, yeah. I have been following this.
Yeah. So this is interesting. Disney is suing Disney and Marvel. So we can't even just say like evil Disney.
Right.
You know, it's Disney, our quote unquote friends at Disney with our actual friends at Marvel. Is that how we would?
Yeah.
Right. They are joining forces together to sue the heirs, in other words, the remaining family members of some late comic book geniuses, including Stan Lee, Stephen Ditko, Gene Colan. The company contends, the company being Disney and Marvel, the company contends that in creating Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Hawkeye, Falcon, and more, these writers and artists were not the legal authors. Rather, that designation goes to Marvel itself. Some of the heirs are seeking to reclaim their alleged rights to these characters through termination provisions of copyright law. Under the legal microscope is the infamous Marvel method. The stakes couldn't be bigger, partial rights to characters whose media works have generated billions.
So, a couple things here. Marvel has a history of not treating their creators well.
Mm.
Right. So, there's a little bit of that going on.
So, that's why they get along so well with Disney.
Right. Yeah. So, there's a little bit of like the underdog / you kind of want the writers to get what they deserve and stuff. But at the same time, this is a little bit more than just that. So there's the whole aspect of there's been stories about how content or creators of characters there's these multi-billion dollar movies and the creators get $5,000. Mm-hmm. That's their payout for the use of this character or whatever. So, but what we're having here is that if this goes through, these characters will fall into more of a public domain type of thing. And as not as in like, not like how James Bond is, where it's owned by not as a conservatorship or, or whatever. Like it's owned, it's like, it's still under licensed by a group run by the family. This would mean that it would be more like Sherlock Holmes, where the family would have a little bit more say over who could do what, but essentially anyone could come up and say, I want to do a Spider-Man movie. This is my new Spider-Man movie.
Mm.
So there's that aspect of it. And so you look at Sherlock Holmes and there's some good stuff, there's some bad stuff. I mean, how do you want to go? But the thing that we're really dealing with is that if you love what Marvel's doing right now, of course you want them to win, because if this goes through,
right,
they won't be able to continue doing, or it'll be much more difficult to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it could fall apart, or they could wind up, we could wind up with like four different Spider-Man movies, you know, that don't make any sense together or whatever. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's okay, and maybe it's not. I don't know.
So here's the thing. My friend, his grandfather invented something. Right. I forget what it was, but let's, for the sake of the conversation, let's say it's the remote control for your TV.
Right.
That's not what it was, but it was something like that, some household thing. And so the guy should be, by all rights, like a billionaire.
Right.
But he was working for such and such company, making 10 grand a year, you know, back then. And he was an employee of such and such company working on a project that resulted in the remote control for your TV. Mm-hmm. So the company, in technically, is the one that owns the remote, and you know, this guy never got rich because he was, you know, earning a salary while he was working for this company, and then invented this, you know, remote. But he did it on the payroll, and the remote belonged to the company. Is this situation different from that situation?
Not entirely. No, I mean, it's very close. I think the difference is that the remote control has been tweaked and stuff a lot by other people. Like there's probably more people involved,
right?
Where this is like, you know, if I was paying you to write your book, one of your books,
right?
And you were like, you wrote that book and it's all you. And then I'm like, well, it's my book. I paid you while you were writing that book. So this is now my book.
So is that in fact what happened? Like, was Stan Lee an employee at the time?
Right. Yeah. These guys were being paid to create characters.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk and I'm always rooting for the little guy, but, and I mean, God knows if you've listened to the show, you know that I have no soft spot for Disney, but in that scenario,
right,
isn't that kind of what we're talking about?
Yeah. I honestly, it's weird because I kind of side with the company on this one. Like they were being paid to do a job. Their job was to create things.
Right.
I think, you know, in the future there could be things done, and I think some companies have done to reserve creative rights for different artists, because I think that they should be able to get acknowledged and get a port. Like there should be something there that wasn't back then,
right,
or anything like that. But at the same time, it's like you were being paid to do a job and you fulfilled that job.
But so that's my position, is I agree with you and I am sort of siding, I can't believe the words are coming out of my mouth, but I'm kind of siding with Disney. But on the other hand, you can understand, I mean, it's got to be heartbreaking for these families.
Oh, yeah.
To know that my grandfather, you know, thought up Spider-Man or whoever.
Yeah.
And now it's a $1 billion franchise and I'm sitting here working at Wise.
Well, look at the guys that are still alive that are only getting $5,000 for like Daredevil and stuff. Well, I don't know if Daredevil's the guy, but you know, but whoever, like their characters are in movies, they're getting $5,000 for a multi-billion-dollar movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, you invented Daredevil. You should be glad you got $5,000.
Right.
Seriously. You should be happy with that. I mean, that
if anything, at this point, right?
Oh my God. All right. Speaking of incredible franchises, Let the Right One, the series, got 10 episodes for Showtime.
Okay, so this, I put this in here, and I know you're going to be like, this is TV news.
It's the Penn Television Cinema podcast.
Yeah, but this is a TV series based off a movie called Let the Right One In, based off another movie called, I think, the same thing. You need to watch this movie, Penn. It is so good. You know anything about this?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't watch the American one, which is called like letter in or something like that. Watch the Polish or whatever version it is.
It's called Let the Right One In. And what kind of genre are we talking about?
It's horror. And you know me, like I don't like horror. And this is good. Here, let me give you the premise, right?
Okay.
Little boy befriends little girl. Little girl is actually a really old vampire.
Ooh, I love it.
That lives in his building.
Yeah.
But they become friends. Like sure. She's not going to kill him.
Right.
But she's still a vampire and there's other things going on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she has to be invited in. She can't just walk in.
Right.
You know, or it'll kill her. Like vampire rules. And she kills the people that bully him up, that kind of stuff. It is really, really good. It's not in English. The English one has a similar name and it's not as good. Don't watch that.
I don't mind subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm cool with that. So what you're saying is that is a super cool horror movie.
Yeah. The reason I put this in here, it's a super cool horror movie. It's getting a series. The series might be cool, but it made me say it's Halloween this week, next week, next month.
Get there.
Later this year will be Halloween.
Hopefully.
I'm assuming.
If everything goes according to plan.
Yeah. If the calendar still shows the same dates, Halloween is eventually coming. And at one point, you should watch. This is spooky season. Watch the Let the Right One In.
Okay. All right.
So, speaking of something that's as far away as next week or next month, The Flash is 14 months away.
Wow.
Is that next year?
Yeah.
No, that's 14 months away.
Wow.
That's more than a year away.
Wow. So what are we in? End of September. So let's call it October 1st, since you're skipping ahead.
Right.
So you're saying this comes out, what, December of 22?
Yeah. So it technically is next year, but I mean, it's not within this year.
Right, no.
Yeah. But guess what? They're already starting to work on the sequel.
Wait, I'm so confused.
Right.
You're saying The Flash...
It's 14 months away.
We have not seen The Flash yet.
No, and they're like, hey, we like what we're seeing so much. Let's go ahead and get started on the sequel.
Okay, that's 14 months away that has not opened yet has been greenlit for a sequel.
Right, that's still like being made.
Gotcha.
Right.
That's awesome.
From a franchise / universe that is consistently underperformed. I'm just going to say underperformed. You know, I don't want to say sucks, but
I'm
underperformed.
David, I don't care for that kind of language.
Come on. Sorry.
That's the worst language.
the worst.
It's the worst.
The worst. I'll bleep it out in post.
All right. Now, I want to share something. I put in some news here. Johnny and Clyde, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and I believe I came down pretty negative.
Oh, really negative.
I had some commentary about, you're going to get clever on the title.
Did you
blah,
say the
S-word?
I can't remember.
I hope not.
Yeah.
You know, I would have saved that for the worst episode. But so Johnny and Clyde stars Megan Fox and Tyson Ritter, and it comes out next year sometime.
Right.
And it's a horror movie. And
I guess.
It is. And it turns out, I think we missed. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. Megan Fox's track record is awful, just awful.
Yeah. I mean, it's really bad.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which is why I put this news story in for today's episode.
The worst episode.
It's the worst. But I was reading up on this. I came across an article and Johnny and Clyde, the two main characters, one of whom is named Johnny and the other is named Clyde. Johnny and Clyde are serial bank robbers.
Right.
You know, so they're robbing all over and they, well, you know, they do one job after another, one hit after another.
Keeps their cereal in a bank.
Right. Lucky Charms. So they go for one last heist in their hometown and they come up against something supernatural. And I was kind of reading sort of some of the backstory on this movie, and I feel like I just need to open my mind a little bit more to the possibility that Johnny and Clyde could be a fun movie.
All right, I'll deal with that. It could be fun.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't say good.
No.
You said fun.
Right.
Right.
But it's not going to be the worst.
not the worst movie.
Right.
But a fun movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. You know what? I'll settle on that with you.
Wait, did we watch a trailer for this or just come up?
Just news of the movie itself.
Okay, so maybe we haven't seen a trailer yet. I'm leaving myself open-minded to the possibility that this movie could be a fun ride.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
So I just wanted to put that on the record because previously, I believe I came down pretty hard in the no camp.
Yeah. Right. No, you were pretty strong.
Right.
No way, Jose. Never in a million years
right.
would you let yourself watch no. Megan Fox and her weird thumbs.
No way. Oof. Her thumbs? She has weird thumbs?
Like, it's a thing.
I
like,
never heard about that.
If you, well, if you Google Megan Fox thumbs, it's like a thing.
So we were talking before the show.
I can confirm or deny anything.
Maybe it was in our staff meeting.
Yeah.
We were having a staff meeting.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was talking about regular people versus internet people. And if you talk to regular people about Megan Fox, they will say either she's hot or she makes bad movies.
Right.
Hasn't made a good movie since Transformers. Those are the two things that most of us regular people think about Megan Fox.
Yeah. But if you talk to an internet person, this is what they'll say. Have you seen her thumbs, though?
David, you really went out there for that.
That was authentic.
Yeah.
And that's an internet person. That's a generic internet person. Have you seen her thumbs, though?
Okay, so we're open-minded to Johnny and Clyde.
Yeah. Now, remember Fantastic Beasts?
Oh, loved it.
Yeah, did great. And the second one happened?
Not so much.
No. Did the third one happen? This is the third one.
Did we have a third one?
I can't remember. The franchise, I think the second one was the last one that we saw.
This franchise is in real trouble.
It started off good.
Right. Hey.
Hey, hey, oh, Fantastic Beasts that, Fantastic Beasts this. And then it was Fantastic Beasts and something, something.
And then it was, wait, what?
Yeah. I can't even remember because it wasn't even really.
But I love the fact that you're still shooting air pistols.
Yeah. Yeah. Pew. Well, the next movie has got a title.
Oh, thank God.
It's called Fantastic Beasts, The Secret of Dumbledore. And I know what you're thinking. This movie must be a million years away.
I think you mispronounced it.
Oh.
I think it's pronounced Dumbledore.
So Dumbledore. Yeah. Fantastic Beasts and no, the no, Secrets no. of Dumbledore.
Fantastic Beasts.
Beasts.
And the Secrets of Dumbledore.
Dumbledore. I wish it's the fourth. Fourth movie. So that makes
you wish
sense.
It was the fork?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
When Dumbledore was in middle school, do you think kids made fun of him?
Dumbledore?
Called him Dumbledore?
Oh, I'm sure. Positive. What I want to know,
right?
And I know you're a huge fan of Harry Potter.
I mean, I'm a fan.
Yeah. You'll never shut up about it. That's the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to know if this movie, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Dorth.
It's not what you think. You're like, oh, it's about the big battle of him and the Johnny Depp guy.
What else could it be?
Right? Grindelwald. That's yeah. I think it's the name. No. Secrets of Dumbledore is all about why he chose to stop wearing fancy suits and just muumuu robes all the time. like when did he go from casual good-looking suits?
Right.
I'm just going to wear these robes.
Right.
Ah, let it breeze. You know? Like, where did that... What? Where'd that happen?
Maybe his secrets will be related. Maybe it's going to be like a really emotional movie, and his secrets are going to be like, a lot of times, sometimes I feel inadequate.
Why did they ask me to DJ this?
Right.
This
event? Right. Wait, what's the complex where you think you're a fraud? Shoot, there's like a name for it.
A name for it.
Yeah, when you're doing something and secretly, and you're plenty well qualified.
Yeah.
You know, but secretly, because we're all, you know, we all have insecurities, secretly you feel like you're not.
I think that's inadequacy.
Inadequacy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the big term.
That sounds
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So, all right, you're probably thinking this movie is what, like a million years away?
Well, I mean, it's the first I've heard of it, so it's got to be, what, 2 years?
Right. Wrong. In this environment where things are getting moved away, this movie got moved up.
Mm. To tax day?
Yeah, exactly on tax day, April 15th.
Jackpot.
Yeah. So, boom.
So you can watch this movie.
You're going to have a big like mailbox out front, drop
you can,
the taxes
You can watch
off,
this movie, and you'll still have 6 days.
To do your taxes?
To buy birthday gifts for my dad.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just a secret birthday party, like present meeting
for Pop Up.
Yeah, everyone who's here, I know you're really here to figure out this is. We're just going to show you an Amazon wish list instead of the movie. Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, now, Now, are we ready for the biggest news of the week?
Let's leave it for the last.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, okay. So I just want to, I have two little bits. Lest we forget, we talked right. about this movie. I think it was our trailer of the week a number of weeks ago. The House of Gucci,
yeah, yeah.
starring Adam Driver and Lady Gaga. And I read a really interesting news story. I forget where I read it. Might have been IndieWire, might have been Joe Blow, might have been New York Times, I forget. All the upcoming projects that Adam Driver has. And of course, the next major, well, the next major one is The Last Duel, which opens next week,
right.
2 weeks, with Matt Damon, which looks, sometimes it looks awesome and sometimes it looks lame.
Yeah.
Right? There's moments where I'm like, oh, I can't wait. And then I saw the trailer before Dear Evan Hansen and I was like,
is this going to be good?
Yeah. And also, who decided that was the trailer that should go in front of Dear Evan Hansen?
I wonder.
Well, I tell you, it wasn't me.
Oh, snap.
But anyway, I just wanted to remind everyone that at the end of November, aka Thanksgiving, House of Gucci opens. And
it's great.
I think this has the potential to secretly be, I think this. It's not going to be the number one movie because it's not, I forget what the big Thanksgiving movie is, but this is not like that. But it's going to be a sleeper. It's going to be one of the ones that everybody's talking about. It reminds me of, what was that one that Bradley Cooper did with Lady Gaga?
Oh, Sing With Me.
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't that, but it was something like that.
Sing
and it also reminds me of like even a little bit like Blindside or it reminds me of a good Bradley Cooper movie.
Right. Right. So what you're saying is that Adam driving to the movie?
Adam driving to the movie.
Yeah.
I think Adam Driver is currently the best actor we have.
He's hot stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And then also, because I know this being the worst episode, we should talk about the worst movie. Venom reviews are in, and there are two, there were a bunch of really positive reviews, and this is one that I'll read. Quote, Venom, Let There Be Carnage really blew my mind. The most fun I've had in movie theaters all year.
Written by an 11-year-old.
All the other reviews led me to believe that David is going to hate this movie. Because the consistent theme from most of the reviews is, if you liked the first one, you're going to love this one. If you didn't like the first one, you're not going to like this one.
Yeah. And then it's, the end credits scene blew my mind. Which I'm going to stand up and tell everyone, it's over. You can leave.
Get out.
It's time to go.
I'm going to.
I'll clean up for you. Just leave your popcorn.
We're going to instruct our ushers to clear the auditoriums as soon as it goes to credits.
Everybody quick. Quick. Like, we gotta turn
get
over.
Out of here.
Yeah.
We got a show in 5 minutes.
Yeah. We don't want anyone seeing that.
Right.
That hot garbage.
So that's the early word. We're going to watch Venom next week.
Yeah.
But the early word is, for those of us that are open-minded to it, it looks like it's going to be awesome. For those of us who have already made up our minds, I'm not one to point figures.
I might wind up eating my words, and I'm going to hate every moment of it.
Yeah.
So okay. bad. All right.
So that leaves one big headline left.
Right. And we're going to tie this in with our listener feedback, because we got a couple letters.
We did.
About this.
We got a variety of comments.
From one person. But we got many letters about this. So we got to talk
ding,
about
ding,
it.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. So we love it. All right. Are you familiar with Super Mario?
Super Mario, the video game?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Little pizza maker guy jumps around box to box.
Super, super noticeable, super memorable. If you had to think of a voice of him, what would you think?
Ah, Luigi.
It's a me, a Mario.
Yeah. How about the guy that was in Life is Beautiful? What's his? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Sylvester Stallone.
Right. No. The little guy who, you know the movie I'm talking about, Life is Beautiful.
Life is Beautiful.
Took place during the Holocaust and he survives the prison camps and the Auschwitz and stuff. And
right.
Beautiful movie. And then he got an Oscar for it and he climbed over like six rows of chairs to accept his speech. It was the best Oscar acceptance speech ever.
Right.
And that's the guy that would be the voice of Mario.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Nope, not him, but but gone.
Anyway, Danny DeVito.
All I can think about when I think of Super Mario is, Luigi.
Luigi.
And it makes me hungry for pizza.
Wah, woohoo! That's the noises he makes.
Right.
So if you had to pick one person to play this crazy character, would it be
Chris Pratt? Absolutely.
Chris Pratt.
Platt?
Platt.
Pratt.
Pratt.
Platt.
Platter. All right, so they announced this during a Nintendo Direct this week. And the casting goes as follows. Chris Pratt is Mario. Anna Taylor-Joy is Peach.
I don't want to lose track. The guy that we were trying to think of is Robert Benigni. Roberto Benigni.
Yeah. An Italian. I think it should be an Italian, like, stereotypical, lighter, middle-aged older man voice. Yeah. Like, not a deep, oh, it's me, Mario. It's me, Mario. What are you doing? Maria.
Okay, so I interrupted you. So we got Chris Pratt as Mario, Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach.
Charlie Day as Luigi, Jack Black as Bowser, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, Keegan-Michael Keel as Toad, and there's a couple others that they announced, but I didn't know the people well enough to put their names down. So,
well, that's just because you're old.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the cast was also like superstars to the younger audiences.
Right. Exactly.
So it was a stacked cast.
It's super stacked.
So whoever came up with this is obviously brilliant.
Obviously looking for money.
Can do no wrong.
Right. So the internet blew up. And here's where it came in. Because, so Frodo's got her pulse, her finger on the pulse of Mario News.
Right.
She's shooting us. She's like, boom, ladder, boom, ladder. Look at these things. Boom, ladder. Look at why this is done. The internet, besides what she was just covering the explosion.
Right.
People not happy about this. Chris Pratt was, a few years ago, people were complaining. They said they're going to make a Mario movie and they're going to cast someone like Chris Pratt to do Mario. And it's not going to, you know, and that was like the big thing. They'd never choose someone like Chris Pratt to play this beloved character because he doesn't fit it. Because he usually plays bumbly, like, kind of oblivious characters. And that's more of a Luigi character. Plus, there's a guy who's been voicing this character for 25 years or something, right? Why wouldn't you, if it's an animated movie, why wouldn't you have the guy that voices Mario play Mario?
So what's the essence? What's the problem with the internet? What's your problem with the internet?
So basically they're really upset that it's Chris Pratt.
Are they upset that it's Chris Pratt or are they upset that it's a white guy?
No, they're upset that it's specifically Chris Pratt.
Okay. Why?
Because he doesn't fit the role. Do you want me to elaborate? Because I can't.
Okay.
I was among when I first heard it, I also was like, he doesn't feel like Mario to me. But then I was like, you know what? He's a good voice actor. He's done, it's not like he doesn't do voice acting. Like, he did the Lego movies.
Yeah.
He does other things. It's like, all right, fine. But he's not, I doubt he'll do an Italian, like.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he does it with an Italian accent, are we going to cry foul on that?
I don't know.
Because we have all kinds of British actors who do movies with American accents.
I think what they're going to do is go more Super Mario Bros. The movie live action and just make them New Yorkers. I think that's the safe bet.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
No, did you? You know that's like considered one of the worst movies ever made.
No,
you don't. Bob Costas.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, we need to educate you.
Please do.
About literally what's been known as the worst movie ever made, starring Bob Costas and, he was really big at the time. Who played Luigi?
I thought Waterworld was the worst movie ever made.
Oh no, man, this is like. A train wreck from every aspect, like the making it. Like, Waterworld's a bad movie, but this is like a train wreck from, like, there are essays written about how bad this movie was made and like how it went off the rails.
And the name of the movie was Super Mario?
It was Super Mario Bros.
Okay.
It was a live action version.
Oh, okay.
Starring Bob Costas and John Leguizamo, I can't say his last name.
Legumes.
Yeah, John Legumes. And anyway, I think they'll just go New York Italian and be safe. That's fine, because Charlie Day isn't Italian either.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really see his voices as Luigi, but then I was like, you know what? I guess he could probably pull it off. He also is a talented voice actor.
So in our staff meeting, as we mentioned earlier,
yeah,
we were discussing regular people versus internet.
Yeah.
And in my travels,
mm-hmm.
most of the people I talked to did not know there was a Mario Brothers movie coming.
Right.
And then when I told them Chris Pratt was going to play Mario, they were like, oh, cool, I love that guy.
Yeah. And then the internet was like, he's not Chris Pratt. We hate him.
What about his thumbs?
His thumbs. Have you seen them?
Does the internet talk like Gollum?
Sort of.
Is that, yeah, is that where you're going?
A little bit of Gollum, a little bit of I don't know what. Yeah. Why?
Why? Why, David?
We want better.
So what does Frodo report?
Well, Frodo was reporting in on a lot of the hate on why they don't want Chris Pratt to do it. But a lot of things that she was saying is that she felt, and I think this is a lot of, there's a lot of agreeing on this, that the guy who did the voice of most of the Mario characters is still in the movie. Why not just have him play?
That's a really good question.
Why not just have him play the main character? Everyone knows that voice.
Yeah.
Why not just have him be that character?
Right.
Right. So imagine playing, imagine you were Penn Ketchum for all this
Jesus
time, right?
Christ.
Right? I know. Oh, seriously, God. Right? And then tomorrow I'm like, well, good job at being Penn, but right. I brought in this other guy.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I got to bring in Chris Pratt. He's going to do Penn during the big thing where everyone's going to see him.
Yeah, you know what?
During the big...
I would be so relieved to have somebody else come in and be Penn Ketchum for a little while.
During the big Kona race?
And if it was going to be Chris Pratt, God bless him.
Boom.
Perfect.
Boom. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
No, so, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
So, I mean, that's got to hurt a little bit. But then she was also saying this is a big commercial thing. Like they're not going for the fandom here. They're not like making this movie for the people that love Mario. They're making this movie for name recognition. So right. They chose all these actors.
They're making it for moviegoers.
For moviegoers.
Not the game fans.
Right, which should cross over, but instead they're alienating one side. And then she also wrote a letter about writing about like some of the live reactions people had, just like laughing at it and stuff, which I did see a bunch of.
Yeah.
And I get it. I understand why you don't want Chris Pratt to do it, but at the same time, I'm like, it's not like we have a track record of good Super Mario Brothers movies. So,
well, here's my position.
I'm almost like, make one. I dare you.
Right.
And the internet's like, yeah, come on, boy.
Here's my position. We have no track record of good Super Mario.
Yeah.
We do have a long track record of great Chris Pratt movies.
Right.
I mean, name a bad movie he made. I mean, some are better than others. I'll give you that.
Right.
But I think he's great.
Here's my counter argument. He's also a good voice actor already. But look at casting roles for voice acting that you would have think like, what? Vin Diesel is Groot.
Mm.
I thought that was a pure money grab. Who would have thought he did amazing as Groot?
Great.
Sylvester Stallone is King Shark.
Mm.
Who would have thought he would play that dopey character so well?
Mm.
You know, like it can work. You got to remember, you're not actually going to see this guy on screen. He's not going to be putting on a big mustache and being like, oh, it's me, Chris, Mario.
You know who I don't love? Jack Black as Bowser. Can we just be done with Jack Black?
Ooh. See, a lot of people are on board with that. But I didn't like it either. I was kind of like, he's going to be too like Jack Black
right.
about it.
That's my problem with Jack Black, is that everything he does, he's Jack Black.
But this is what we're doing right here. This is what people are doing with Chris Pratt. They think he's going to play Chris Pratt as Mario. They don't think he's going to play Mario. I think Nintendo is going to be like, hey, big names and Anya Taylor-Joy, here's the script. Guess what you're sticking to? The script. Gangsters.
How else would they do it?
Oh, yeah, you know, just put your spin on it.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We love what you do.
Right, right, right.
Jackie boy.
Yeah.
Just get out there.
Like Robin Williams in Aladdin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, well, that's all good. That's all interesting. I think...
We definitely talked about it.
I think that... Here's the problem. Here's the issue. And we've discussed this on the show a million times regarding a million different topics.
It's impossible. But yeah.
The best thing that the people behind this movie could hope for is for us to be talking about it. And here we are. True. Like a couple of dopes, like pawns.
The best dopes.
The worst dopes.
The best dopes on the worst show.
The best dopes on the worst show.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the worst news for the day.
Okay. But what are the worst trailers of the week?
The worst new trailers of the week. We have four trailers to review. Two of them, I think, are close contenders for being the best of the week, which makes them the worst. There's one that is clearly the worst, which makes it the best. And then there's one which I couldn't find.
Okay, yeah, and this one I saw, it was on. I'll always go to IMDb new trailers.
Okay,
that's where I usually find. I mean, I don't find all of them there, but I find most of them there.
So, for our listeners who might not know, IMDb.com is essentially the go-to source for a lot of facts.
Right.
It's very reliable. It stands for Internet Movie Database.
Yeah.
It does not stand for I'm a douchebag. Which is what I always thought.
I thought this was all about me.
Right. So IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, if you're not familiar with it, like, because I'm sure there's some listeners who are like just learning about movies, some of our younger friends.
Right.
I mean, he's all grown up now, but there's another 14-year-old, you know. Connor not Connor is no longer 14.
He's no longer 14.
And I can tell you from experience, he is working. He's a hardworking man.
Yeah, he ain't got time for fooling around.
No, he's not fooling around. But anyway, so if you're interested in, you know, sort of following up and researching and fact-checking, IMDb.com is your go-to place. So that's where David goes to tee up our trailers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I go other places too, but that's usually where the problem is. They have all trailers, like for things that aren't in the movies as well. But anyway, but then when I went to YouTube to find it, it took some time.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's just start. There's a movie called The Cleaner.
Yeah.
And it stars people that you'd recognize, as well as the lady who was the mom in Terminator 2.
Linda Hamilton.
Hamilton.
I now give you the most random reference ever.
Right.
The lady who played the mom in Terminator 2.
Not the mom that got killed, but the mom of John Connor. And some other people you would recognize, but don't know the names. And it's about a guy who's just trying to go through therapy, and then the neighbor's like, hey, find my son. And then he gets wrapped up in criminal stuff. It looks like one of those movies that could look good, but the trailer did not sell it.
Does he clean crime scenes?
I don't know why it's called. Oh, it's called The Cleaner because he goes over to her house and he's like, your house is really nice. Do you have someone that cleans it? She says, I'm not hiring you to be my cleaner. I'm hiring you to find my son.
I watched the wrong trailer.
Yeah, I'm sure. I
watched a series out of the BBC.
Right, right.
About a guy who's a crime scene cleaner.
And that looked funny.
That looked good.
I was like, I would watch this. Yeah. And I was like, this can't be the right trailer. Right. Scroll down about four trailers and there it was.
So is this movie coming out?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah, probably not here.
Hoboken, here we come.
Somewhere. So, all right. So the next one, and this is what's gonna be crazy. Because I'm gonna step out here and be weird. This is my trailer of the week, but I don't think it's the best looking movie of the week.
Okay.
All right. This is the trailer that I liked the most
and
got me most pumped for something, but I guarantee the movie will not fulfill on what I saw.
Which one are you talking about?
And that is The Most Reluctant Convert.
Hmm.
It's a story about the life of C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very British.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved the like cheeky voiceover. Like he's like, well, that's what I thought, but I was young, you know, I don't know, insert comedy joke or like the way that he was talking to the camera as he's walking through the museum. Like I really dug. This is something I would totally watch. But I would totally expect to watch on Netflix.
Did it remind you of Tolkien?
Well, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien were buddies, so yeah.
I mean, I'm saying like this was the movie. Like at first, I was like, ugh, whatever.
Oh, I see what you, the reading, movie Tolkien. Yeah,
you know. But then, as the trailer went on, I started thinking like, oh, this kind of looks like fun. And then I was reminded that Tolkien was a great movie that I loved. Even though I didn't know anything about,
right?
Is it R.R. Tolkien?
Yeah,
J.R.R. Tolkien.
But It's a little bit different, and I think this is a little more comedic in its way, because it's narrated. It's supposed
to be
autobiography.
It looked like it was based on a book.
Yeah, I don't know if it's real or not, but it's supposed to be like it's based on a book.
Oh, I gotcha.
I don't know if he actually wrote that book or not.
All right.
So,
I thought the trailer was pretty good, but it's not my trailer of the week.
Okay. All right. It's fine. No, I admit that there's another movie that looks better on here, but that's my trailer of the week.
Okay. The next trailer is The Beta Test.
Okay.
The Beta Test is a story about a married Hollywood agent. He gets some kind of mysterious invitation for a anonymous sexual encounter. And then, of course, trouble ensues. And you're kind of watching it like, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
You know, you got a purple invitation to go have sex with a stranger in a hotel room. And
so you don't get to
makes
see
perfect sense. Like, how could anything possibly go wrong? But of course, it's a movie, so he does accept the invitation and obviously gets in all kinds of trouble. And I thought it was kind of an interesting, I thought it was a great trailer, and I really want to see the movie because I feel like it's sort of this story of like that Edgar Allan Poe movie or book or story about the Telltale Heart, where, you know, his guilt like is just consuming him to the point where he drives himself mad. And I feel like that's going to be the story.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it looks like a great movie. I thought it was a really good trailer.
It's friends like, maybe it was your wife. Oh, God, maybe it was my wife.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the main character ends up having sex with this woman, but they're both blindfolded. So
they
neither one of them knows. But how, you know, just...
Yeah.
Chaos.
So this wasn't your trailer of the week, though.
It was not.
So my runner-up is the next one we're going to do.
So this movie is called The Beta Test, and I thought it was my runner-up trailer of the week, and definitely looked like a interesting movie. I'm not sure if it's going to, it wasn't from a mainstream studio, I don't think.
From the comments I saw, people are like, this is my favorite independent filmmaker, so I don't know how big of a release it'll get.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But someday we'll come across it on Netflix and we'll watch it at home.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Trailer of the week right here. Licorice Pizza.
Yeah.
It claims to be starring Bradley Cooper and two other people, but it looks like Bradley Cooper plays like a tiny, tiny, tiny part, which probably is really good for this movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like his name is on it only to help get people like us to talk about it. But the trailer is absolutely amazing. I don't really understand, other than it's a coming of age story for the young couple. But I don't totally understand, like, is the guy an adult who's a child actor, or...
I think they're supposed to grow older in it, but they just look really, like, they... Because we're seeing snippets, like, we're not seeing the things that are supposed to make them look older, so they look all the same age. Mm. Looks like they meet in, like, high school or something. He likes her, they kind of date a little bit, he's an actor. They both go on to become actors of their own rights. Yeah. And he's having success and she's not, or she's, you know, being, it's based in, I don't know, what, 70s?
Yeah.
So like she's more like struggling as a woman actress type thing. And, but they keep running into each other. And like so life keeps bringing them together and they're reluctantly in love.
I didn't really understand what that exchange was with Bradley Cooper when he says, do you know who my girlfriend is? And the guy says, Barbara Streisand. And then Bradley Cooper like has repeatedly corrects him on how to say Streisand.
Yeah, I think that was just comedy.
Just comedy that went right over my head.
Yeah, I think he's Barbara Streisand's.
Because I actually watched this. I enjoyed this trailer so much, I did watch it twice.
Whoa.
And the second time I saw that exchange coming, so I was like really tuned in. And it still went right over my head.
But it's because that's basically like a conversation with you on the show where you're like, Chris Platt? And I'm like, Chris Pratt. Chris Platt. So you live that conversation all the time, and that's why you didn't get the humor in it.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. Wow, huh?
I can't believe you just went there.
I mean, it's the worst episode.
Yeah.
All right.
It is the worst. And you, my friend,
are the worst. This week, you and I, we went out. We said, hey, let's go see a movie we're looking forward to.
Mm-mm.
Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, this is great.
Broadway production.
Finally, a movie we're both looking forward to.
Yeah. Put on to film. The music, the booming, the binging, the banging, the bam-bam. You know,
it's air pistols again.
Air pistols again. It's going to be great. We're going to have a great time. And then we watched Dear Evan Hansen.
Womp, womp.
All right.
Now, my womp womp is totally different from your womp womp.
Okay.
And we'll get into that.
All right. So tell me, I saw this movie first off.
Yeah, I did too.
Tell me what you thought of Dear Evan Hansen.
Okay. I loved it. Now, the womp womp that I mentioned earlier is the fact that I loved it, even though I was reminded how freaking depressing it is. Ugh. From the beginning to the end. There's almost no part of the movie which is like satisfyingly uplifting or like hopeful or redeeming. It's only like in the closing moments of the film when you realize that Evan Hansen has gone through this journey that you feel like, okay, he's gonna be okay.
There is so barely a redemption arc in this movie that it's insane.
I would go further and say there is no redemption arc.
Okay.
I was gonna say that.
I
don't think he's redeemed. I think he is, he did what he did, he paid all the prices, and now he's ready to move on with his life. So it's not so much a redemption as it is a closure.
Okay.
You know, and making, you know, essentially in some ways made peace with his, for lack of a better word, his victims. In other words, the dead kid's family.
Yeah.
And also sort of connected better with his mom.
Well, in doing so, he also starts to become a normal person.
Right. Yeah. Right. A little bit. So the movie and the show is incredibly sad. I mean, it's hard. It's not a fun ride.
Right.
Which is different for a musical.
Watching this movie, so much of it, I was like, this, I wish I would have seen this on Broadway.
Mm.
Because so much of it, I felt this would be perfect. This scene would translate perfect on stage. Right. But close up on film, it's just not translating for me at all. And it's, some of it was the close-ups, and there was a big part of it I want to talk about. Is the main actor.
Okay.
Okay. Now he originated the character on stage. He is, I'm guessing, early 30s.
He's 10 years older than the intended character.
Right. Okay. So he's in his late 20s.
Yeah.
Right. The characters that he plays with, the other actors, are very close to the correct age of their characters. And that feels very awkward. Very, very, because if they were on stage, I would totally buy that this guy was younger. I would totally buy he's there, you know, he matches. But with all the close-ups and stuff, you see he's got age to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's, and, you know, they're hiding the 5 o'clock shadow and mm-hmm. stuff. It was just, and the other part about that is his acting, what also seemed like it would have been perfect for expressing the nervousness of the character mm-hmm. from a distance, but in a close-up, he seems too awkward for life.
Mm-hmm.
The people around him would not be acting so blasé to someone acting like that right in front of them. I'm not saying people don't act like that. I'm just saying the people that he's around would not react the same way if that was the person in the room with them. And that's the part that just kind of like bugged me a lot about this. And that, like from the first song, which also felt like it didn't feel connected to them
mm-hmm.
in the filming, from that took me out of it as well. From that point on, it just felt really off to me. The story is good. If you like the Broadway play, I agree. It's a good story. The music is good. I just did not like the transition into film.
Well, I think the way he acts, just to agree with you, is sort of perfect for the Broadway stage.
Yeah.
If you can picture yourself 25 rows back,
yeah.
you know, or up in the balcony, where he's going to need to
overexpress
everything so that the people in the back of the house
right.
can feel his anxiety.
Right.
You know?
But as a result of him being 20 feet tall, you know, you feel it
too much.
It's like,
yeah. yeah.
yeah.
So I loved it. I really didn't have any problems with it. I the age thing was, I wonder, just for me, if I hadn't heard so much discussion about his age, if I would have noticed. I probably would have, because it was definitely, he's definitely like definitely on the young. High side. Caitlin Dever's 24 years old.
Is she really?
Yeah, he's 28.
Okay, she looks like she's 16.
She definitely fit better.
Yeah.
You know? You remember her from Booksmart.
Right.
Yeah, she was amazing. We fell in love with her in that movie. And I thought she was great. And I thought all the actors were really good. But I want to read a couple things that I thought were interesting, because you and I have talked before. We care deeply about mental health and mental health issues. And I think one of the disappointing things about this is that although it raises awareness about teen suicide, and I guess it raises awareness a little bit about mental health, I read a review that I thought hit the nail on the head, sort of articulated what the opinion that I was trying to come up with. And it said, quote, "Dear Evan Hansen goes for sincerity, but it lacks awareness about its central character and has nothing interesting or deep to say about mental health." So other than the fact that this guy is dealing with anxiety and depression and so on, and I guess the scene with the girl who was like the president and the main cheerleader and all that kind of stuff, like that was, I guess, sort of a commentary about, hey, you know, not everyone you see is as put together on the inside as they might appear on the outside.
Right.
So that was an interesting message. But I also wanted to read this review, which says, "The whole enterprise feels a little tone deaf, which robs it of some of its power. It's still probably worth a watch for fans of the original, but be prepared for a different experience." Mm. And I think that's the best way to say it. Like, if you're coming in looking for the Broadway show, this is not that. I'm sure in some ways it's a little bit better. In some ways it's not quite as good. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's depressing.
I think if the main guy would have been played by someone else, or at least just toned down,
yeah,
I think it would have I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
Do you ever read something that you agree with, but you don't really understand it, and you can't quite give voice to your own opinion about it?
You mean our show notes?
the comment that the whole enterprise feels a little tone deaf. That's how I felt, but I can't quite tell you why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like something was missing. Okay, so two more interesting things about Dear Evan Hansen. On Rotten Tomatoes,
okay,
which we take with a grain of salt,
okay,
but still, I always find it interesting when there's a big difference between the critics' reviews and the audience reviews. The critics' reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for Dear Evan Hansen give it a 32%, which is awful. The audience reviews give it 89%.
I will say most of the people in the theater with me seem to be really enjoying it.
Yeah. Did you cry?
No, but I did when I went to go in, like all the employees were like, it's not good. Like their all opinions were, they were not saying it was pretty
well,
rough.
Noah, my boy in concessions tonight,
yeah,
he said he saw it and loved it.
Really?
Kayla loved it.
Okay.
So Kayla's our Broadway expert.
I don't know the name of the girl at concessions when I got here to see it, but she's like, I'm a big fan of the Broadway play, and this just doesn't connect.
Oh, okay. All right. So Dear Evan Hansen, that's our worst review of the day.
We did it. Now, we wanted to talk about the worst movies of 2006.
No, not the worst movies of 2006. The worst movies
since
2006, which is the year that the original Penn Cinema, located in beautiful Lititz, Pennsylvania.
Whoa, I've never been.
Open. You're not missing anything.
Yeah, it opened in 2006.
Right. So we decided, I think last week, didn't I commit to
bringing... Yeah, you said you were doing this.
Yeah, I was going to bring my list. So I'm ready. All right. You ready?
All right. Oh, snap. Oh, man, he's got props. He's got a top hat. I love it.
I got the top hat for this.
All right.
This segment.
The showman has brought his list of worst movies since 2006.
All right. First of all, an interesting fact.
Okay.
In doing my homework, I saw that we have played, just in Lititz, 2,984 different movies.
Wow. How many of those have you seen?
2,983.
Get out of town. That's not true. There's too many movies you haven't seen for the podcast.
All right. So I have a surprisingly long list of bad movies. So we're going to breeze through a few of them and talk about a couple of them.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The most recent which made my list was It's a Cop Thing.
Did you watch it?
No.
Okay, but it still made the list.
It's the only movie on the list that I did not watch.
Okay, all right, cool.
Right, but I felt like it had to be on there because it was so bad.
Oh, my God.
But we loved it.
It was hard.
I loved that you watched it. Right. Yeah. All right, then we had Assassination Nation in 2018, which grossed $750. Do you remember this one, Gem and the Holograms?
Oh, yeah, one of your favorites that you've never forgotten about.
Right. Here's another recent one, which I did watch, The Card Counter.
Oh.
I'm putting this on my list of worst movies that we've ever played.
Whoa.
Also on the list is Killer Joe from 2012. Here's one going way back. I don't know if you saw this when it came out. And I saw it, and I remember it was the first movie we played here where I watched it and was disappointed.
Wow.
So we like opened up on this high. Oh, my God, my dream came true. Got a movie theater, Casino Royale, Happy Feet, Smoking Aces, one great movie after another.
It was the middle of Saturday. And he just went and locked all the doors.
Right. The movie was Sidney White.
I don't remember that at all.
It was like a spin-off on Snow White. Oh. And it was awful. It was totally disappointing. Another disappointment in that era was Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, which was miserable. Here's one. Now we're getting into some that I think you will remember. 2014. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is my sixth worst movie.
Okay.
Hellboy 2.
Wow.
I hated that movie.
The Golden Army whatever?
Yeah, something like that. The fifth worst movie, John Carter.
Okay.
In 2012. Right, yeah, that was pretty awful.
That's pretty bad, yeah.
Right? Fourth worst movie, and this really had potential to be the first, Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star. You remember that one? It was one of...
Adam Sandler?
I thought it was Will Ferrell, if I remember correctly.
Okay, yeah, yeah. All right, I don't remember.
But it would be funny if it's somebody totally different, and I'm totally...
Andy Samberg, maybe?
I don't know. Could be, but it was... I just remember it was a comedy, and I was looking forward to it for weeks, and I did not laugh once, and probably didn't stay for the whole thing. Another one that was supposed to be a comedy, this is my third worst movie, and the reason why it's on my list is because it was billed as a comedy, and it was just mean.
Oh.
And there was no, like, arc or redemption or, like... I just felt like it was mean. And the movie is Dinner for Schmucks.
Oh, who was
in
that?
Which I thought it was like Adam Sandler and that crew. And I thought it was basically like the guy's a bully, but he never corrects.
Huh.
Like there's no, it just never turns, it like at the beginning of the movie, the guy's a bully. He makes fun of these people. And then at the end of the movie, he's still a bully.
Sure you didn't watch Uncut Gems?
Second worst movie. This is a movie. This was the first movie I watched that I did not stay in the theater for.
Wow. Okay.
I remember I was in the theater and it was 2011 Paranormal Activity. And I was in the theater and I have a TV in my office. Well, I don't anymore, but I did for years.
Okay.
And I remember it was a Monday night. I was in the theater by myself watching the movie and I decided I'd rather go up to my office and watch Monday Night Football. But back then, no, that's not true. I was going to say it was on film, so I had to let it finish, but that's not true. We were digital by 2011. All right. Worst movie we've played since we... Oh, I should state, there's a ton of really awful movies that I didn't even mention because either I didn't see them or it's not even fun to like, you know, mention how bad they were. Like I'm talking about movies that we all saw that we didn't enjoy.
Right.
Right. So the worst movie that we played since 2006 came out in 2009. And it's the movie I always use as an example of people want to see what they think they're going to see. So in other words, if you're telling me it's going to be a comedy, it better be funny.
Okay.
Or maybe if you're telling me it's a drama, I want to be moved.
Mm.
Or if it's a horror movie, I want to be scared.
Right.
Or if it's a musical, I want to tap my toes. Like there, you want a certain movie to be a certain way because that's the mood you're in for, you know, sometimes you're in the mood for a drama.
Right.
Sometimes you had a rough couple weeks and Jesus, let's go, you know, get a babysitter and spend a bunch of money and watch a funny movie.
Right.
You know, let's just leave our troubles behind and laugh.
That's what I need.
Yeah, let's laugh for an hour and a half.
Yeah, and everyone back from making kids.
2009, Funny People. Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen.
That's supposed to be really depressing, right?
It is the most depressing, awful movie ever. And it was billed, these two comic geniuses, and they're both brilliant. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
This movie is not funny. There's nothing funny about it.
Is it even good, though?
I will admit that I think it's a good movie.
Okay.
But I was just so in the mood for comedy and disappointed by what I saw.
Right.
That it sits atop my list of worst movies we've played.
Wow.
Since we opened.
Wow.
That's my list. Since 2006, Funny People, Paranormal, and Dinner for Schmucks are my three worst. And I will have to, I will say, I'm not even saying that they're the three worst movies. I'm saying those are my three worst movie-going experiences. Although now, if you're getting personal, you got to talk about Night at the Museum, which I saw on Christmas Day in 2006, and that was a miserable mistake. But that's a different story for a different show.
Oh, say that for the actual Christmas show.
Okay.
Yeah. This is why I hate Christmas movies.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. That was a crazy list. I also want to just remind you how in the middle of it, you were like, this is my list of movies that we've all seen, not just bad movies. And you started off the list with It's a Cop Thing, which only you haven't seen and only your employees and me and one other person have seen. So
It's a Cop Thing, of all the movies I just listed.
Yeah.
Grossed $54 through its entire theatrical run. Funny People, a major motion picture release, only grossed $22,000. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Wow. Well, It's a Cop Thing has a way to go. Maybe the sequel will do some damage.
Oh my God.
All right. So what's this? What does Top 10 Sarah have to say?
Okay. Well, you know, last week we were talking about how we were going to do the top 10 worst movies.
How did I not get this email?
I don't know.
Top 10 Sarah. I don't know what it is. I consistently don't get your emails, and then I do, and then I don't.
Her email was hilarious because, first of all, the best part of the email was she sent a. So last week, at the very end of the show, you asked me, what can I do? What can we do to support the show?
Yeah.
And just being a good newspaper reporter that I am, I shared that a lot of people are going in those greeting card stores and opening cards and writing, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast on it.
Right.
And a lot of people think that when I tell those stories, I'm just making them up.
Right.
They think it's like, I don't know, funny.
No, those things. Everything you said so far has been a real thing.
Right.
You've seen happening.
Absolutely truthful facts.
Yeah.
Right. So to support my case, Sarah was kind enough to send in a picture of a greeting card. She went into a store and wanted to buy a card for her aunt Thelma, you know, who is getting married again.
Again. Oh, Aunt Thelma.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't think it was a second wedding. I think it was an anniversary card.
Oh.
I think Aunt Thelma.
She found one that stuck.
Aunt Thelma and Uncle Gene were celebrating 50 years.
Oh.
You're right. And so Sarah, being the good niece that she is, wanted to buy an happy anniversary card, happy 50. So she picks one out that she thinks is nice looking. It's a silver looking card, got a very pleasant, you know, thing. She pulls it out and opens it up in the store to see what the message is inside. And it says, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast. No, it's true. So in case you think I'm making this up, Sarah was kind enough to email us a picture of the card.
You're not telling me she didn't write it in there?
She did not. She found it in the Hallmark store and
get out.
Go on Facebook and
get
look
out.
At the podcast, the Penn Cinema podcast Facebook page. It's on there, baby.
There's no way she didn't write that in there.
No, David, are you, what, you don't believe her? I believe her.
All
100%.
I'm saying is, did you get invited to the anniversary party? Because I didn't.
To Thelma and Gene's anniversary party?
If Thelma and Gene are stone cold in this, we got a problem.
Yeah. Obviously, well, they hadn't gotten the card yet. Yeah, so after they got the card, they were like, oh man, we should have invited them to the party.
I can't wait till we get invited to some random party for like top 10 series. Like, come to my aunt's.
Right.
And
right.
We just show up. And we
will.
And we ballsy show up for
absolutely
it.
Will.
Yeah.
In our top hats and Hawaiian shirts.
Like, oh, you guys didn't know what was coming? Come on.
And then we like set up the microphones awkwardly on the coffee table in the living room.
Oh, sorry. We're recording.
Don't you know we're doing a show?
Oh, that's hilarious.
So that was at the end of the email. At the beginning of the email, she inquired, where does Penn Sinema Podcast get complaints sent to?
Oh.
So I don't think we've talked about that frequently.
too much. What was one of our iTunes reviews? Too much liberal bullshit.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Liberal BS.
Liberal BS.
Yeah, because conservatives don't swear.
Right.
Anyway, she wanted to know where to register her complaint. So I think that's a great entree for us to share with our listeners. All complaints should be sent to David. Just kidding. Should be sent to podcast@penncinema.com.
Yeah, because we want to read them.
Yeah, absolutely we do. And then the better the complaint, the more fun we'll have with it.
Right.
Usually when people complain about stuff, that's an invitation for us to do it more often.
Right.
Because that's exactly how mature we are.
Or laugh about it for two or three years. Yeah.
Right. And then on the side note, Sarah went on to say, David is not a big sports fan, so he might not appreciate this thought. But you know how when you go to, are you familiar? You ever been to a baseball game, like the Clipper Stadium or something? And the batter walks up to home plate, and while he's walking up, they play like he's got like theme music.
Right.
Like, or like a wrestler walks into the, you know, ring and, you know, they're introducing him with theme music. Sarah said, wouldn't it be fun to have in everyday life, like before Penn calls or emails someone to book a movie, his theme music would play, or right when I'm about to place an IV catheter in a dog, my theme music would play.
Oh, snap.
Or on the opposite side of the spectrum, having some kind of celebration, like a football player spiking the ball after a touchdown. After a successful blood draw, I get to do a little celebration dance. Or when David's cats are found snuggling with each other, he could do a little celebration dance.
I cannot wait till
now,
that happens.
Now, my question to Sarah is,
yeah,
what makes you think I'm not already doing that? We wrap the show and David jumps up from his chair, takes his empty water bottle and spikes it on the ground and does like a little, you know, hands over the knees, like super dog dance.
Yeah.
So if you're not already doing that, Sarah, please join us.
Sarah, let me be real with you for a minute.
Do
way back in the day, I formed a wrestling association at my school. Right? But I wanted it to be like super fake wrestling. And we all had, like, I got like 25 dudes to sign up for this thing. We never actually wrestled.
Right.
It was going to be this intermediate
thing.
We all signed contracts. We had different sides because it was going to be like a big show. And we all had to have like names. And then everyone had their own theme music. And I put a soundtrack together with everyone's theme music. And mine was, "How Much Is the Fish?" was the name of the song. Cannot for the life of me remember the name of the band. I'll find out. But it was "How Much Is the Fish?" And it's this bad European techno song that goes, "How much is the fish?" That's it.
Well, here's my thought when I was reading that email.
Yeah.
I mean, Sarah, she already has theme music. I mean, I just assume if her boss... I mean, if he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And I know him, I think.
He better be a good guy.
Yeah.
Does he have a phone call?
How is he not already playing that when she walks into the room to insert an IV?
Yeah.
How does she not walk into a room? Dun 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 dun. See, a good triathlete boss would be all over that. I'm just saying.
The band name was Scooter. And the song is "How Much Is the Fish?" And it's a European horrible EDM song, and I love every moment of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think for next week, if you loved us, you would bring a clip of that song.
Okay, we'll see what I can do. We'll see what I can do. Also, Top 10 Sarah's boss better watch out. He'll get a call from her podcast guardians.
Yes.
Yeah. Excuse me, boss man, Mr. Boss Man. Do you understand what you need to do? Theme music?
I think she subjects him to the show.
Oh,
I think I think he's listening.
Oh boy. Well,
which would just make
my day. The esteemed Dr. Bossman Vet guy. That's his professional name.
Dr. Bossman Vet Guy.
Yeah. All right. So that does it for listener notes. Look, if you want to be a part of the show and have us drone on about whatever you wrote up for this podcast at Penn Cinema, that's the best way to do that. Also, send us a good complaint. We're waiting for it. Now, let's move on. What are you watching? What are you doing? What's been going on in the wonderful wide world of you this week?
All right. I have a couple interesting things.
Oh.
First of all, I watched Shang-Chi again.
Oh, nice.
Loved it as much the second time as I did the first time.
Yeah.
I won't say that I saw like a lot of things, but I saw some things.
Yeah.
And I will also say, like, I was reminded during this movie why, like, we kid around. I mean, we're not kidding, but we talk a lot about movies versus TV.
Right.
Getting the details. You know, when you watch a movie on the big screen, especially when you go around the second time, like, and getting the background details, the things that are hanging on the wall behind the characters, the nuances of the sets, you know, right. And the costumes. And I mean, it's just, you get so much more on the big screen. And I've thought that a million times. The first time I ever thought it was when I saw Sleepless in Seattle at the New Main. Actually, back then it was called the Main up in Ephrata.
Right.
And anyway. So I saw Shang-Chi again. I also saw The Card Counter.
Okay.
Which I should not say I saw The Card Counter because I walked out about 20 minutes into
it. Really?
Because
I'm glad we didn't see it.
It was awful.
Wow.
I rewatched The Game starring Michael Douglas.
Okay, yeah,
I think from the 80s or 90s. Great movie with Sean Penn. But here's the one that's interesting to me. I fell down a rabbit hole on YouTube of Seinfeld clips.
Nice.
Which we love.
Yeah.
Bloopers, clips, etc. And most of which we've all probably seen. But I came across something new. And if you're really into Seinfeld, this is totally worth the watch. Go on YouTube. Somebody, you know how a lot of times Seinfeld like had nods to other to movies?
Yeah.
Like that scene with the magic loogie.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Or there's even like the Midnight Cowboy reference. Like there's a lot of great references in there. And I always thought I was pretty good at like picking them up. Some of them are really obvious. Some of them are subtle. Somebody went through and put side-by-side videos of the Seinfeld clips of movie references with the actual movie.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them, it is striking how I did not realize. And again, I sort of had I took a little pride in like, oh, I get these movie references, you know. But I did not realize until you see them side-by-side how some of them are almost like frame for frame duplicates from the movie. Like it's so you don't realize until you watch this clip. It's like a 12-minute thing on YouTube, and it's fascinating to see in some cases how closely Seinfeld, like somebody really went to an effort to have them match frame for frame. I mean, some of them were just kind of fun nods, but some of them were almost like,
I think that's what made them hilarious too. Yeah.
I mean, it's so good. Really well done. But that was, I felt like, you know, when you fall down a rabbit hole on YouTube and sometimes you're kind of like, oh, well, there goes 40 minutes out of my life. I'll never get back.
Right.
You know,
right,
yeah. But I felt like, oh, I got one. It's like fishing. I found one.
Yeah. It's me. It's
right.
Fine.
Right.
So me this week, I finished up Rick and Morty season 5. But I finally got to Only Murders in the Building.
Mm.
I'm watching it. I'm watching it with someone. So we're watching it kind of slow, but first two episodes, so good. Highly, highly, highly recommend. Definitely worth your time.
There's something about that show. Steve Martin and Martin Short are acting like Steve Martin and Martin Short, but there's something about the show that makes it wonderful.
Yeah, they're not being the annoying part of themselves.
Somehow it just works.
Yeah, just enough of them.
Yeah.
To like, yeah. Also, I've been watching What If, the Marvel.
Mm.
I haven't been bringing it up because I'm going to be frank. All right.
Just be David.
Okay. I'll just be David. All right. I don't really care for it.
Can I be frank? If I could still be Wayne.
Because here's the thing. If it's not for the part where it might connect to the movies, it's bad enough that I wouldn't watch it.
Right.
I'm not enjoying it.
Mm.
But then I watched Star Wars Visions. Mm. You know anything about this?
No.
It's kind of like their What If, but for Star Wars.
Mm.
And the whole idea is they were like, hey, these 9 production companies, just make a Star Wars thing. And just make an animated Star Wars thing, and we'll put it together. So one's like Samurai Time, but there's still like robots and lightsabers. And each one, the animation style is different. Some of them are really, really good. Some of them are kind of not great. It's basically just fan fiction come to life. And it's a million times better than What If.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. It's good. It's fun. I mean, even the bad episodes, I'm like, that sucked. It was 18 minutes of my time, but I don't feel like it was trying to ruin a beloved franchise. Mm. So.
I forgot to share with you the worst movie news.
Oh.
It's right up along your alley here with Star Wars news.
Oh, no.
I saw they now have for sale a George Lucas Stormtrooper.
How many did you buy?
Zero. Times zero. Wow. And then I specifically went to the website and put like five in my cart and then delete, 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 delete.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so weird because he's played characters in the movies.
Really?
Why not just make those figures?
I hate that. I hate that. Anyway, I interrupted you. You watch Only Murders in Buildings, Star Wars Visions, which you love, and no anime this week?
Well, let me tell you, not quite anime, but I'm really pumped because coming out November 19th, which I'm sure you know, is my birthday.
My whole world is planned around November 19th.
Right, I know, right? And that premiering on Netflix is the live-action version of Cowboy Bebop, which is a beloved anime, live-action starring John Cho. And they released the opening credit title scene, and it's amazing.
And you just sat there and watched it?
I've watched it like three or four
times. Yeah.
And then I watched clips of Cowboy Bebop to remind me how cool it is. And I'm like, man, I'm excited.
Are you a Ozark guy?
No.
Because while we were getting the show notes together, I saw that the first scene from season four apparently is on Netflix.
Oh.
So that's going to be on my list to watch that. I can't wait.
Nice. All right. Well, next week we're going to be watching Venom 2, Let There Be Regrets.
Right. I don't know if we cover that in the news story, but they changed the title.
Right.
It used to be Let There Be Carnage, and now there's
They did actually change something this week, and it's now called Sony's Spider-Man Universe Presents or whatever.
You being serious?
Yeah. Like they changed it. It's not called the Venomverse. It's called Sony's Spider-Man Universe. Which is off of Marvel.
That's a big deal.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. All right. So we're going to watch that next week. We'll see if I have to eat my words. But look, if you want to tell us what you thought about Venom or anything else.
Or I'm excited for Many Saints in Newark, which I'll be watching two movies this week.
Yeah. I might actually, if I can get that in two, I might watch that too because it looks good. Send us an email. podcast@penncinema.com. That's the best way to do that. Or you can go ahead and write on our Facebook page. There's people talking over there. We got Trailer Master Jason over there putting up our trailers every week.
Love that guy.
Does amazing work. But if you want to support the show, what's the number one way people can do that, Pat?
Well, the worst thing you could do is tell a friend.
Oh, literally the worst thing.
The worst thing you could do. But the second worst thing you could do is to nominate us for a Golden Globe. Because we all hate Golden Globes.
Yeah.
So I think it would be really great if people would write in.
A write-in campaign.
Right. A write-in grassroots campaign for the Penn Cinema Podcast. Is there an awards for podcasts?
There are podcast awards, yeah.
See, we should start a write-in campaign and get us.
Of all, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I want more of it.
If not Golden Globes, what song is that?
What?
I love it. I want some more of it.
I love it. I want some more of it. That's a
country song.
It is.
But if not Golden Globes, I want a Tony.
Mm. If we can't make this get us one step closer to our EGOT, then why even bother? Right. You know?
I mean, way back when we first had the idea to do this show together, I remember I was kind of on the fence.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I don't know, David. Do I have to see you every week?
Well, here's the thing, Penn. I'm already an Emmy winner.
And then you were like, listen, I got my Emmy.
Yeah.
I need you to help me get the Globe, the Oscar, and the Tony.
Yeah. If we can just knock out those other four.
Right.
Penn. I got my EGOT. I'll leave you alone. You don't have to see me anymore.
So this is my effort.
to get that
my
done.
My plan to get David out of my life. All I got to do is win four major awards.
Should be easy, right?
Easy peasy. Lemon squeezy.
Lemon squeezy. All right. Look.
Oh, brother.
Once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, the worst show on the internet. I'm David Bolton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.